As 2023 careers to an end, Thoroughly Good captures the reflections of creative types from across the classical music industry in an extended episode packed full of previews and recommendations. Included in the next 45 minutes are pianists Martin James Bartlett and Charles Owen, Oxford Philharmonic conductor Marius Papadopoulos, Roger Wright from Britain Peers Arts, Music in the Rounds Joe Towler, Manchester Collective's Raki Singh, Jocelyn Lightfoot from London Chamber Orchestra, Manchester Camerata's Bob Riley. They've all been asked pretty much the same questions. I've told producing this kind of episode involves far more admin than I had originally anticipated. I probably need an assistant for that bit in the future, or at least a coach. No matter,
heartwarming,
reassuring.
I didn't know him before that, but I really liked his music, so I asked him to write me something and he said yes. And from the moment that we started talking about that commission, he was always talking about writing me a violin concerto. And it never happened because these things just take a long time to come to fruition. And then about this time last year, very sadly, he was diagnosed with an incurable cancer. And suddenly his life changed in the most ridiculously constructive, positive way I could imagine. And he just wanted to create, and he wanted to create the things he wanted to do. And he's always had a world of theatre. He's worked a lot with National Theatre, doing things like War Horse, Corran Boy, all these amazing productions. But he wanted to do music for the concert stage, for working with musicians he loved working with. And so there was a concert in the summer dedicated to his music at the South Bank, and he decided to write this violin concerto at long last. And it was just an extraordinary journey watching him as he was going through chemo and writing this music. And it started off, it was just going to be a short work, which is going to be probably 10-15 minutes, and gradually the music started writing itself and it turned into a full-blown concerto. And it's wonderful music. That's the central thing. It's really special music, but just that background to it as well, and the fact that it's a composer who's such a great friend and collaborator, and we've worked together so much, and he knows my playing so well, and it was just, and he's a wonderful violinist himself, so it's just beautiful music to play as well as beautiful music to listen to. So I think that was one of the big highlights of 23. Oh, disappointment. Oh, my shower broke last week. That was definitely a disappointment. As was finding out that there was water coming through from the roof into the box that has the shower switch. So actually it is a disappointment, but also I feel extremely lucky that we didn't burn down like the house opposite, which did burn down earlier in the year. So, you know, I mean, all disappointments have their silver linings. So going into next year, I've got a new album coming out in the spring at the end of April. So at the moment, most of my concentration and thought is going into that, and all of the skills that you have to develop these days if you don't have a massive budget, of things like doing videos for promoting, which currently I have recently been doing for myself, which has been actually a massive learning curve, and something that probably 3 or 4 years ago I would never have thought to do, I would never have imagined having to do. But then suddenly, you know, obviously with everything that happened with COVID, suddenly we all had to learn all the new skills to function online properly. And you realize that, okay, it's not going to be the same as if somebody did a several thousand pound shiny video of you for promotion, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be bad. I think the thing that I've really enjoyed listening to, it's only just out, but It's been a real highlight. It's been Rachel Podger's new album of Goldberg Variations. I've always loved Goldberg Variations since I first heard it. When I was studying in Germany, I bought the music so I could try and bash away on the piano, but you know, my piano playing was never good enough to play it in any way that I thought was, well, on any level acceptable. And I've loved performing it in, there's a string trio version, and we kind of changed it around because there were things that we wanted to do differently, but I've played that a lot. So I feel like I know the music so well, but this recording brings, I mean, her phrasing is always extraordinary, and everything she does with the music is always wonderful, but actually the way it's been created and the extra instruments, the colours that come through, the conversational elements that come through that you don't necessarily notice so much when it's harpsichord or even in the string trio version, because the colours are so different between the instruments, it just brings a whole new world to this music, and it's just played beautifully. My guiding principle 2024 is, what would Ethel Smythe do? So in 2023, and actually going ahead into the future, I did a lot of concerts with Leah Broad and Nicola Eimer, and it all based around Leah's new book, which everybody should go out and read because it's brilliant, called Quartet, which is about four composers who have been unfairly, forgotten is a bit of a harsh term, but they're not listened to as they should be listened to, and Ethel Smythe is one of them, and she was so feisty, and she was just, she had such an incredible attitude to life, and constantly coming through our joint WhatsApps and conversations about everything that was going along, arranging concerts, arranging performances, it just kept coming up, what would Ethel Smythe do? And it's just such a brilliant way to look at life, I think.
I'm Bob Riley, and the chief exec of Manchester Camerata, and I do what I do because I love the direct human connection that music can make. There are too many memorable experiences, but I think the one I would pick out is that in June we presented the world premiere of a symphonic even interpretation of a South Asian writer called Mohammed Iqbal at the Bradford Literature Festival. It's a seminal piece of poetry, and the first part of that work is called Shikwa. And we worked with an incredible composer, Rusha Ranjan, who has since become one of our artistic partners, and the Indian classical singer Abhi Sampa. But it was an extraordinary experience in Bradford. There was this almost like blue buzz of electrons or neurons in the air. It was just an extraordinary thing to hear this beautiful new sound to a work that means so much to many, many people. And to a very different audience than we're used to. And one that listened in a very different way. That was also something remarkable about it, was the way people listened. I just felt you were in the presence of something extraordinary, like really extra than the ordinary, unusual, that was happening, and a sense of purpose and meaning that I've not experienced before, really, because, you know, we were representing something in rather a fearless way, I suppose, that was so important to a very different community. So there's a lot of risk involved with that. And the only thing you can do then is just be really honest and kind of human about it, which we have been throughout that, the whole process with that work and with Rushil. And that's worked incredibly well, which is why he's now become an artistic partner. You know, there's a real, there's a meeting of minds and hearts there.
Now onto the difficult question. What about a disappointment from this year?
It's a difficult question. I think the disappointment for me of the year, I have to say it, the disappointment was what the BBC did with their orchestras. Because, you know, whether or not that was needed, which is now questionable, the impact of that, and it is an impact, not a thing, an outcome, it's an actual impact in a sector that struggled so hard. The impact of that is a kind of dereliction of trust, actually, between players and management. And that was already in, you know, an institution in the BBC where that's always been a difficulty. But, you know, many of us have spent decades building that trust and communication. And it's a hard one thing because, you know, I was a freelance musician, and so I still do remember what it's like to walk onto a stage absolutely bricking it at 7:30. And, you know, if you're that person, you just have to trust that if you're going to blow a note, that it's going to come out. There's all sorts of elements of belief and trust. And so I felt that was such a disappointment from a place that perhaps should have taken much more responsibility. But, you know, stuff happens, people have gone over and over it, but I think we're going to be feeling that one for a long time. The thing I'm looking forward to is focusing more on music and health, and that's a speciality of Camerata, but I've just joined the ABO board, and the focus for my time there is the narrative in the sector, which at the moment feels embattled. It's scrabbling around for work and funding. There's systemic challenges like the BBC, the stuff that's happening with ENO. Today we learn moving to Greater Manchester, which is going to be really interesting. But also in a post-pandemic landscape, and, you know, we've moved to part of that landscape with 50% family poverty in Gorton. Society has moved on and changed and is looking how to build back better, build back fairer. You look at something like the Michael Marmot Report of 2021, yet our sector's response, it's not shifted enough, it's not changed enough. And I understand the embattled nature and why that's so hard. But at the same time, it makes it even more important that we do change our narrative and that it is positive and it is forward-looking. Because in a society which is also embattled, we're paid by them, frankly, and to some degree, and therefore, even if we didn't take on the mantle that we are public servants anyway, to, you know, give great performances and use music in various ways, even if you didn't accept that one, and you did accept that, you know, we are paid by the public and therefore public servants to some degree, and in any case, in a kind of in terms of self-interest, we need a positive narrative, you know, and I just don't think we have one. So the thing I'm looking forward to is challenging myself to be positive, because sometimes, you know, that's it's not always easy. Generally, I'm positive, but sometimes it's not easy. And really focusing on the different ways that music performance can improve health, but also the more instrumental ways that many of us do, but could more, use music to make a difference to people's health, you know, in quite fundamental ways sometimes. So I don't know how far I'll get with that, but I'm quite excited about it.
My name's Martin James Bartlett. I'm a classical concert pianist. I do what I do because my mum forced me to when I was a child. I then won BBC On Musician. And here I am, and I do it with a lot of joy. Is that good?
that's good enough. I don't know of anybody who said that their mother forced them to do it. It's very honest and it's very refreshing.
I never feel a thing is real when I'm away from you. Out of your embrace, the world is just a temporary parking place.
What have your achievements been this year?
There are two things this year. professionally that I've done that spring to mind that I've absolutely adored. The first was working with the European Union Youth Orchestra in Grafenegg in Austria. It was my first time collaborating with Manfred Honig. And we played Prokofiev's third piano concerto, and it was just extraordinary, the energy, and to see these young musicians playing with such passion and abandon was incredible, if not terrifying, because it meant that I had to spend half my time keeping up with them all, which is not usually the way it is with an orchestra. So that's one. And the second one that really springs to mind is actually the joy it has been to work with friends this year, especially the conductor Jonathan Bloxham, who's a great mate of mine, and he's in Lucerne now at the opera. And we've done some really lovely projects together. We've done Mozart D minor in Romania at his festival in Newcastle. And the joy of working with a friend, being able to have dinner, being able to have a glass of wine and talk about the work, as opposed to what you normally do and sit on your own in a hotel room. So professionally and personally, it's a treat. I think one, it's only been a minor disappointment that I've had this year, is probably, you usually get re-invitations to festivals, not the following season, not even the following year, but perhaps 2 years in advance, 2 to 3 years in advance. The issue being, because I had all of these beautiful debuts lined up for COVID times, 2020-21, we've just been rescheduling those, which has been great. Some we haven't been able to reschedule due to the fact that they're planned their seasons, quite a few seasons in advance, but we haven't quite had that springboard from the previous engagements that we would have normally got without COVID being in the mix. So that's been a little strange. That being said, though, I don't think I could have done any more performing this year, so it's probably for the best. Well, I think next year I would like to do more conducting from the keyboard. It's something I've really enjoyed. I've been fortunate enough to work with the wonderful London Mozart players, and we have projects next year as well, conducting with me from the keyboard, and also not just conducting from the keyboard, but conducting from the podium, actually, and doing works that don't feature the piano. So I think for me, it's a great joy to be able to craft everything from scratch, rather than sort of, having to share everything, which is also beautiful in its own way, but to be able to do something that's quite, wholly yours and the orchestra is a really interesting experience.
Are you a bit of a control freak?
My immediate family would consider me a control freak. I just say I like things done right.
So do I.
Another thing I do think I want to carry forward, actually, is when you're a young musician, the idea of working with conductors is quite terrifying. And you can sort of arrive there, you've prepared incredibly well, but you're sort of closed-minded to other ideas. You don't want to change your interpretation because your interpretation is so moulded into what you've done. And I think in the previous years, and I want to do this even more in the coming years, is to be able to actually just be totally free, totally spontaneous, and be able just to sort of create as we go with a conductor. And that's partly the joy I've had with working with a friend, is without speaking about it, because we know each other very well, there's been a subito piano or something. And for the orchestra, if they're watching, it's great fun. And that has been, that's how I want to carry on, really, with that openness of communication.
Tell me about a favourite or a recommended recording from this year. It can even be your own if you want.
So I thought about this question quite hard, and I thought, I haven't released an album this year, so I thought I won't choose another classical one.
Okay.
Don't want to promote anyone else apart from
right, yes,
my dear friend Claire Martin, jazz singer extraordinaire, released in 2023 an album with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
It's only a paper moon, hanging over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe. than me. It's only a canvas sky.
The Jazz Standards, some of which are Richard Rodney Bennett. It's the 10-year anniversary of his death, and it's extraordinary. The strings are so sumptuous, the sound is unbelievable, and her voice is sultry beyond compare. And it's my go-to now. Whenever I board a flight, I put this on because it just relaxes me. It's so that's something that I think she should owe me money, because I think half the streams are mine, I have to say, on Spotify, because I just listen to it on repeat over and over again.
If you believe in me.
This year at the London Chamber Orchestra, we've significantly expanded our Music Junction education and outreach programme, marking a landmark year for us. Beyond just musical education, we're addressing broader issues such as improving school attendance behaviour and nurturing confidence in young people. The impact of music in uniting communities and the enthusiasm from new groups seeking our support has been incredibly rewarding. This achievement reflects my belief in the unifying power of music, a core value at the London Chamber Orchestra. At the London Chamber Orchestra, we are eagerly anticipating the 24-25 season. This season symbolises a pivotal moment in our growth, featuring a new concert hall partnership and diverse innovative collaborations. Our focus is on creating a distinctive season with interdisciplinary collaborations across various art forms, industries and charities. This year is about the London Chamber Orchestra moving beyond past challenges and eagerly embracing our innovative future, committed to making our concerts more inclusive and accessible to a broader audience. Our recent release, Music from the Ghetto, stands out as a defining moment for the London Chamber Orchestra. This album represents our commitment to mirroring the diversity of the communities we serve. Its focus on Jewish traditions is a significant stride in diversifying the classical music landscape. The positive reception, highlighted by the BBC Music Magazine's review, emphasises the album's cultural and musical impact. It represents more than just a collection of music. It's a journey through history and emotions, showcasing the London Chamber Orchestra's dedication to using music as a bridge across cultural divides. As we look to 2024 at the London Chamber Orchestra, our guiding principles are growth and gratitude. Collaborating with new trustees is set to usher a fresh perspective and new growth opportunities. The dedication of our volunteers is invaluable, and we deeply appreciate their tireless efforts. At the heart of the London Chamber Orchestra is our commitment to community engagement and building connections. These interactions inspire us continually, driving us to explore new collaborations and share these enriching experiences with our team.
Rakhi Singh, I'm a violinist, also music director at Manchester Collective. Why do I do this? I guess initially because my mum taught violin and piano to young children, so I grew up with it and I love it. It's, you know, certainly keeps life interesting, constant challenges and discoveries, and it's an amazing way to connect with people. This year, I feel like I've ticked off some pretty major bucket list things. We had a prom, a Manchester Collective prom, in August. It was a late night prom, and I actually played a solo violin piece in that prom. So And so I've now played solo violin in the Royal Albert Hall live on radio, and I borrowed a Stradivarius for that. So I was like, I'm done. I can retire now. That's it. So I feel like, tick.
What about your disappointments this year?
Disappointments? Interesting. I still feel like, I suppose life can get quite hectic as a musician, can't it? And I find, you know, traveling around, racing around, I sort of increasingly feel the strain of that. So it's balancing not moving around too much, knowing when I need to like listen and just actually do nothing, because it's very easy just to keep worrying. Even if you're not moving, your mind is still moving a lot, and actually that's just as exhausting. So there's definitely room for just like slowing down more, but I'm getting better at that.
When you look forward to next year, what are the things that are like, that needs to shift, that needs to change a bit?
Well, a lot of my life involves sort of working with people and playing music that other people have written, but a part of me really enjoys writing myself and creating myself, so I often don't make enough space for that.
What about the recording of the year for you?
So a friend of mine is called Olivia Cheney. She's an amazing singer.
A man with daggers takes his aim.
And she, as well as sort of being very folk influenced, she's sort of reworked Purcell and stuff like that. But I played on her album this year, and my partner's actually done a remix of a track of hers called Circus of Desire. She's got the most amazing voice, and Vessel has done a remix of it, and it's quite joyous. It'll get you dancing around the room.
Jill Towler, and I am Chief Executive of Music in the Round, and we are the leading national producer of chamber music. We're based here in Sheffield at the Crucible Theatre. Why do I do it? Because I think there is something special about being close to music and musicians. Music in the Round's achievements for 2023 are, well, there's loads to choose from, but my the highlight that I'm going to pick is our Sheffield Chamber Music Festival, which was in May of this year for 9 days, created by the lovely Cathy Stott. So she put the programme together. And the reason why it's a particular highlight this year is that we increased the number of people coming to our festival by a third. I think there is something about chamber music, and I think it is something about the experience of being so close to musicians and so close to that intimate setting, and seeing the relationship between the musicians and the relationship they have with the audience, that makes it an experience that you don't get online, you don't get through putting on a CD, and you also don't get when you're watching somebody on a platform that's however far, you know, meters and meters away from you. I think there's something there that's experiential, that we had such an online 2 years or however long it was of screens, that actually people are kind of craving that intimate actual experience of music, of live music making. Opportunity for development for Music in the Round in 2024, it's our 40th anniversary. So we are taking it as a year of reflection and celebration. So for example, in our festival in May, we are reflecting on our very beginnings in 1984. And we're working with Robin Ireland, who's going to come and do a concert with us, who is a member of the Lindsay String Quartet that set up Music in the Round in 1984. So that's a very special event for us. And we're going to have an evening dedicated to the Lindsays as well. But looking forward as an arts organisation, in the autumn, we decided that it would be a really sensible thing to do as a chamber music organisation would be to put on a massive community opera in the Crucible Playhouse. So there's an opportunity for development as an organisation. But our reach within the city and the region. Because of that, it's going to be collaborated with the Music Hub, with the Sheffield Hallam University, with the Crucible Theatre, with choirs from across Sheffield, with small ensembles from across Sheffield, bringing all our various groups together. It's an opportunity to really kind of share music making with the wider community. And we hope that A, we'll put on an amazing opera, which is Jonathan Dove's Monster in the Maze, and we'll put that on in November next year. But not only will it be a special experience in the run-up to it in creating it as a community opera, but it also is a starting point for future collaborations as well, and those relationships in the city continuing with the people that were part of it as an organisation, and as singers and performers, and also with Music in the Round. See, my recommended recording isn't going to be in time for this Christmas, unfortunately, for this Christmas list. The recording I'm going to recommend is happening literally next week, and it is our Ensemble 360, and they are recording Schoenberg's Pierre Lunaire, because it's Schoenberg's anniversary year next year. And early this year, Claire Booth came and sang Pierre Lunaire, or Spreckersang, I guess, performed with Ensemble 360, the Pierre Lunaire. And it was just one of those situations where musicians just magically get on. They just absolutely sparked off each other, and it was the most amazing performance. And Claire was so struck by performing with Ensemble 360 that she said, right, I want to record this piece, and I want to record it with Ensemble 360. So that is what is happening over the next couple of days. And so next year, when it's Schoenberg's anniversary, we will have Ensemble 360, our resident musicians. It will hopefully be their performance of Pierre Lunaire that is being performed all over the country on the radios and wherever else, and shining the light on Ensemble 360 and hopefully Music in the Round in Sheffield.
I'm Charles Owen. I'm a pianist, and well, music has been central to my life ever since I was a small boy, and I've worked my way through wonderful music schools like the Menuhin School, the Royal College of Music. For me, the absolute highlight was in Australia, and that was in Melbourne Recital Centre, which is one of the most beautiful concert halls in the world. You are enveloped in amazing wood carvings with the best acoustic, seats just over 1,000. And that was with Stephen Isserlis, our first full recital together, a real duo programme, Beethoven, Martinus, Suk, and the wonderful Brahms F Sonata. Being on stage with Stephen is completely thrilling. The visceral energy and the intensity of listening he creates, and it's astonishing. But even more incredible in some ways are the rehearsals. I think I've learnt more from him than almost any other musician I've ever collaborated with. It's so inspiring. So, okay, well, next year, one thing I'm definitely wanting to do more of is twofold. Find more time for reading again. So I had so much time, as we all did in the pandemic, and I just absolutely love being curled up with all sorts of different books. That's number one. Number two, I've been a guest reviewer on Record Review on Radio 3 twice this year, and it really rekindled my love of listening to other people's albums across a vast range of repertoire, from Gesualdo to Thomas Addis, with some Richard Strauss and many others thrown in. So I want to find more time to really enjoy my Apple Music subscription and enjoy the treasures of artists from yesteryear and our current time. There's so much to listen to. So that's my ambition for 2024 and onwards, more time to study and reflect and read. Of my own new recordings this year, I've made a duo album with Katia Apiakishova, my regular duo partner of French music, and I would love listeners particularly to discover Poulenc's great sonata for two pianos, which was written post-Second World War for an American duo who Poulenc nicknamed the Boys, Les Boys. In terms of other artists' recordings, there are many, but I'm going to plump for Thomas Addis's new clarinet quintet, played by Dio Tima Quartet and Mark Simpson. It's the most stunning work, based on Shakespeare's Tempest in part. Really, really haunting. I think it's one of Tom's greatest pieces. It's very elegiac and absolutely captivating.
My name is Marios Papadopoulos, and I am the music director of the Oxford Philharmonic Orchestra, which I founded 25 years ago. I feel passionately about music and making music at a high level. This year was particularly important for the Oxford Philharmonic because it was our 25th anniversary. I can point out our debut at the Royal Albert Hall with Maxim Vengerov as our soloist, another concert at the Barbican with, again, Vengerov as our soloist, a tour of Germany with Martha Argerich as our soloist, memorable concerts there, our debut at the Musikverein in Vienna, a performance of Rachmaninoff's third piano concerto with Evgeny Kissin in Oxford, and also a tour with Nigel Kennedy playing Bach concertos. I have the highest admiration for Nigel, and those performances were mesmerizing and really quite special. I'm always disappointed when you know, we don't perform at the level that we aspire to, and there have been a number of wonderful performances. Maybe there were one or two that didn't quite get to that high level. I'm always very critical, and that's the only way to be if you want to improve.
What about your recording of the year?
John, forgive me for self-indulging here, but we made a recording ourselves in September of Mozart symphonies for the Apple label, which is was our first collaboration. Mozart is very close to my heart. I approach his music, symphonic music or piano music, as if there were, as if it were opera. So we feel we've got some of that into the recording studio, and I much look forward to recording the release.
I'm Roger Wright, and I'm Chief Executive of Britain Peers Arts.
You really don't like talking about yourself at all, do you?
No.
So, why do you do what you do?
I do what I do here for Britain Peers Arts in the same way as I think I've done what I've done to be privileged to do all the things that I've done over what might be laughingly called my career. You know, which is because it is a real privilege to think about how one works with the heritage and traditions of particular organizations. And in my case, you know, actually, new music has been at the center of an awful lot of that. But you think about, you know, Radio 3, the Proms, Deutsche Grammophon, the Cleveland Orchestra, Britain Peers Arts here in Suffolk. The thing that connects with me is how you are respectful of those traditions, but never make them. Well, Somerset Maugham said, you know, heritage should be a guide and not a jailer. And I think, you know, that sense of being respectful of a heritage, but also making it fit for purpose, is a fascinating thing. And the other thing which I absolutely love is sharing passion. And so taking audiences on journeys and welcoming new visitors and new audiences and taking them to things that that you know they didn't know they would like or enjoy, or they then become part of our own life experience. So that's always been the thing that's driven me. And you know, whether it be sharing, you know, other obsessions in my life like cricket and bad jokes, you know, it's just a real pleasure to share with friends, and you know, to see audiences grow. I mean, an organisation like Britain Peers Arts does so much. It's very hard to talk about, you know, an achievement, but great to have audiences back in such big numbers and visitors to our two sites at Snape and in Aldwa. If there was one moment, I suppose I'd pick out our big sing, 10th anniversary of Friday Afternoons, our singing project for your children and young people. And we had an incredibly successful big sing event around Britain's birthday in November. 700 young people in the concert hall, more than 6,000 on the live stream, and a celebration of new music, because we commissioned new songs. And the children and young people not realising how hard it was to do new music and just giving it their all. And then hearing them sing Britain's Cuckoo and know that that tradition just will last and last and last.
What about a disappointment?
I don't think anybody working in music and the arts can have gone through this year without feeling pretty regularly that we've all got a big challenge on our hands in terms of advocacy for the arts, making the case for support for the arts. And, you know, I'm a glass half full person, but it's been quite hard to get it to half full through this year. And the fight has never been more urgent, and the need for music to transform people's lives has never been more keenly felt.
Will the fight be won?
I suppose the fight, you know, is on multiple fronts, and you know, all that we can do is, you know, particularly thinking about an area, you know, in East Anglia on the Suffolk coast where we sit, to say, you know, we've got to do all of the thinking locally and regionally, and acting locally and regionally, whilst recognising that we are part of a national and international infrastructure. And the McKinsey report, which came out just at the end of November, was really important in speaking to the value of the ecosystem. You know, I'm tired of the London, out of London arguments. You know, it's really important for an out of London organisation like ours that London flourishes. You know, this isn't a sort of binary thing. It's really important that, you know, we all work together and recognise the interdependence, you know, between publicly funded, between commercial, between London, out of London, across genres, you know, because we're all part of that ecosystem and it all needs to flourish.
What are the opportunities for next year? What are you taking forward for next year?
We've got the opportunity next year of Britain Peers Arts, with the 75th Aldwa Festival, to shout loud about that, to welcome new audiences and new visitors to the Suffolk coast. The Aldwa Festival in 1948 was where this organisation started. And, of course, it wasn't going to be the 75th. It should already be the 77th festival. But we know what got in the way. And so there's a real opportunity, I think, for us to shout loud about it, but also talk up the year-round work that we do. Because, you know, from those beginnings with the Aldwa Festival, this organisation, with its two sites at the Red House in Aldwa and on the Snape Malting site, you know, is now really year-round, really busy year-round. And with all those different elements that made part of the extraordinary Britain and Peers vision.
What about your recording highlight of the year?
You know, I could have picked so many, but actually I've chosen one which was recorded here at Snape Maltings, which is Tenebrae, doing Bach and Jimmy McMillan motets. They're remarkable choral performances. They also, in this extraordinary acoustic, sound fantastic. And it was a live, from a live performance, and you know, again, a sort of really memorable performance here in Snape in recent times.
Is there anything else that you'd like to tell me that I haven't asked you?
I don't think so. Thank you very much, and I hope you're going to have a lovely Christmas.
I always like seeing people go like, I don't know. Is there? I don't know what to say. Thank you very much indeed.
Actually, no, I do have something to say. It's really important, the work that you do. And I feel like a lot of musicians are really in touch with what you write and what you share. And thank you for that.